Hi, welcome to Dr. Fred Bell's Health Science and Energy Show. We have a very special guest tonight, Judge David Wynn Miller. And also welcome to all the people down in Tampa Bay at www.tantalk1340radio.com and all 1380 above ground stations and other affiliates that are now tuned in. And my guest has been on this show before. He's a very knowledgeable person on the true freedoms and the true restrictions of law. He's been on, I guess this is his third appearance, and he's backed by popular demand. My special hello for my friends in Nevada. Judge Miller, hello. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing fine. This is my about 320th radio show since 1993.
Wow. So you did three. This is your third one with me, I believe, now.
Yes.
That's good. So I wish I could have listened to the other 390 of them.
Yeah, there's a few hours out there.
Yeah. So tell us what we're going to tell our audience, rather, what we're going to be talking about tonight.
All right. Tonight we're going to be talking about the jurisdiction of what a court is. Now, all of you, when you go into court, you believe that the judge has jurisdiction, that you believe the courthouse is an area that is a community building where you go to solve your problems. The truth of the matter is, a courthouse is a vessel in dry dock controlled by the port authorities. The word court means a closed area. The word United States means anytime two or more people come together in a closed area. All people coming together in a closed area are aliens or foreigners, because all 7 billion people on planet Earth are alien to each other. They all have different beliefs based on their educational foundations, and all the paperwork that they file in court, the papers themselves are vessels. The papers are treated as foreign vessels coming into a foreign vessel in the courthouse itself. Now, we live in America, and the American flag is 1 to 1.9. Red, white, and blue is our three colors. But when you walk into a courtroom, you're in a courtroom with a yellow fringe flag, and that has four colors on it. So therefore, it's a foreign vessel. Now, the court, the jurisdiction of the court, is also a foreign vessel. Now, a lot of this information you can find when you research under the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure 44 and 44.1. Now, along about 1905 in the United States, at the World Court at The Hague and the Treaty of Versailles, arguments were made between the different courts worldwide, because when World War One ended, it was supposed to be the war to end wars, and they had to set up court systems that were articulating the jurisdiction of all the different people in all the different arguments based on the trespass of jurisdictional questions. When you went to court, the judge says, well, you have to give me jurisdiction. And the paperwork that you sign, one of the first paragraphs on all of your complaints and lawsuits is that you give the judge jurisdiction to hear the case. Well, if you're a foreign entity coming together in a foreign court, your paperwork is foreign. The judge now, when you give him discretion over the words on the paper and the vessel of your body, you are giving him the power to make a determination as to what communications you're going to talk in. Now, attorneys are licensed to practice in that fiction jurisdiction, or I'll rephrase that, in the foreign jurisdiction. In the past, I've called it a fiction. Well, and when you modify a fact into something other than its original volition or original condition, it then becomes a fiction, a perjury, a lie, a misrepresentation, all of which are foreign to the conditions of the court venue. So when these as an individual coming into a courtroom, you believe that you have actually joined with the court, the only thing you've done is gave yourself over as a servant, or what I call a vassalee, V-A-S-S-A-L-E-E. It was a word that I had created about 9 years ago and copyrighted it, and it's been used ever since. It means you are a servant employee of the courtroom and of the vessel in the court. Now, the court goes ahead and they have local rules that they publish, and everyone seems to interpret these rules differently when they go to file lawsuits. And these local rules, when they're written in the books, are written in adverb-verb. They don't use prepositional phrases. They create, and I'm going to use the quote, no facts, no law. And no is an adverb, modifies the verb law and the verb fact. As we all know, a verb is an action. Well, if thinking is an action, and the word motion is an action, that's why attorneys file motions. They're advertising the fact that it's going to be a verb, but where are the facts? So because we read all these rules that say no law and no rules, and we walk into the court, and the judge knows that this means that we are going to be in a condition, a negative condition of the state of the mind. And that's so everything is negative. No parking, don't run.
Yeah.
And plausible deniability is the most obvious of all human responses. What was the first word you learned between the ages of 1 and 5? No. Don't touch that. Don't reach up there. Don't spill your milk. Don't waste food. Everything was don't. So you wind up growing up in a negative condition of thinking. That's and this goes all the way back to the beginning of time, this communication of don't, no, negative.
Yeah, and the drug companies may have a field day selling drugs to try to recondition people's past, and drugs aren't going to do it when people don't really understand why.
Yeah, don't get sick, don't throw up, don't have a headache. Everything is based on the don't.
Exactly.
So where is the performance? See, in my technology, when we create a contract, the contract is a vessel. The vessel is bonded together. When you read the rules of what is required to go into court, you must have a stamp. In other words, a postage stamp on the vessel to pay for its freight. You must sign across the stamp, making you a postmaster to transport the vessel of the paper to the court, because the court is a foreign vessel from the sovereign territory of the condition of state to where you live.
That's
you must also endorse the value of your contract. Don't you endorse your personal checks at the bank when you cash them? You sign across the top of the back. How many of you listening have ever signed across the top of the back of the lawsuit you filed in court? Probably none of you.
Good point.
Now, a few weeks ago, we were going through some old documents, one of them from my father when he bought his first house in 1952. And you know his mortgage contract had postage stamps stuck on it? And the bank officer and my father and the person selling the house all signed their names across the postage stamp to pay for the freight of moving the title of the property between point A and point B. In other words, changing titles.
Now, they don't do that today, do they, Judge?
I do.
Well, I mean,
and I instruct all my people to do the same thing.
It's not really aware of, though, anymore, is it?
Well, it's still required.
Yeah, okay. All right.
And just like the United States Supreme Court. Now, when they wrote the Constitution, the was an adverb modifying the verb Constitution.
Right.
Well, the Constitution was a condition of state. It was supposed to be a title to fact for the Constitution, of the Constitution, with the Constitution. See, C-O-N means contract. So they should have made the word constitution or contract to be a fact. Instead, they made it a verb.
Yeah, and so the entire... Where do they get the legality of mail fraud, seeing as you put a postage stamp and we're sending it from a foreign nation, us, to some other part of the United States? How does mail... Is there some way that mail fraud... It seems to be they have the Postmaster General has quite a bit of power these days.
The Postmaster General controls the United States.
So that's really
he is responsible for the policing of all forms of government.
I did not know that.
Well, the post office controls the treasury. The treasury prints the money. The money is used for commerce. All 50 states of the United States are independent territories. The only thing that ties the 50 states of the United States together is commerce. In other words, money.
I understand that. Yeah, I got it.
Through the United States Treasury, because all the conditions of states are actually vessels in dry dock controlled by the post office through commerce.
Right.
Same thing is true when you walk into a courtroom. You're entering a foreign jurisdiction. Now, if you look up the rules and regulations, you will see that the judge, under Title 28, Section 2072, has the broad-based discretion to make determinations.
Correct.
Okay, DE means no, and TER is terra, no earth, contracts.
That's
determination, that's what it means. TION means contract.
All right.
So you have no earth contract. Well, what happens in court? Everything is written in adverb verb. You're under a foreign flag. You've left America. You might as well be on Jupiter or the moon. And the arguments that are told in court are all based on issues of commerce. Who's going to make the most amount of money in the argument on the table? It's very rare that you actually see a condition of fairness take place. Just like 95% of all men in America only get to see their children every other weekend that are divorced.
Yeah,
and that's 70%
sure.
of the population.
Have a minority in the say of what the court has to discrete against. Yeah. That's very true.
And they say equality, and yet we have nothing but there is no equality. Men and women don't have equality. The different races don't have equality. You have the freedom of choice. Freedom is a pronoun. Of is an adverb. Modifies the pronoun in front of it and the choice verb. Choice is a condition of state, not a fiction.
Yeah.
So you have a no condition of an illusion. That's what freedom of choice means.
Right. Well, that's
now, there's a certain group of people listening tonight. The rules and regulations that I'm going to be talking in generalities here, and you can fill in the blanks.
Okay.
The rules and regulations that have been handed to you to govern the way you do business are written in adverb verb. I have the power and the knowledge to go ahead and identify the fictitious conveyance of language in violation of Title 18, 1001, and 1002 to certify that because money is being used, you are now a victim of mail fraud, which is Title 18, Section 1341, which is a 30-year prison sentence and a $1 million fine for each action. Now, if there is a condition placed upon you by a foreign court identifying you to be a foreign entity because you've left America and you've gone into this foreign vessel in dry dock and they made a determination against you, your question is, where is your venue written with the correct sentence structure? Where is your oath written with the correct sentence structure? Where are the rules, regulations, codes, contracts written with the correct sentence structure? Please show me the correct sentence structure or vacate your position. Well,
powerful words.
When I first made this public in 1988, so we're going on our 19th year now since I broke the math interface on languages.
Yeah.
The government came to me and says, do you realize what you've done? You've vacated every treaty, trust, and contract for 8,500 years and 5,000 languages on planet Earth. Are you responsible to fix it? And I says, yes. Well, I've been at this now 27 years.
Right.
I started in 1980. Now, I have a website. It's dwmlc.com. Now, the reason I put that website out there with about 100 pages of information is so that people could get a foundation of communication skills, a foundation of how many different types of lies have been told to them to date. And if you read that and you study it and your curiosity is spiked a little bit more than the average person, I also have a 20-hour tape series which goes into a classroom setting where I teach the procedures of language and articulate the deductive reasoning of how this all came about. We also have a 105-page workbook, and which articulates the use of this type of language in its correct format so that you can see it does have an application. Now, individuals continually come back to me and say, well, how the courts will not file in the truth paperwork. They will only file fiction paperwork. Well, if you go in, if you file a fiction document, you've already lost because your document says nothing. So it's a moot argument to go into a fiction court and file fiction paperwork. Now, everyone believes that the venue of that building, that courthouse, is the court. That's not a true statement. It's a true statement if you walk in, one, without paperwork, two, your paperwork says nothing, three, your paperwork is filled out improperly and you don't have your authorizations to even be in the courtroom. So therefore, what are you? You're a foreign person trespassing on a foreign vessel. Well, that's really complicated now. It's like an illegal alien coming here from a foreign government into America and not having a passport or not having papers to be here. So what do? We arrest them, we send them back. Well, the same thing is true when you go to court. Your documents aren't in order, you wind up getting arrested, and they put you in jail. They keep you on the vessel because they're not going to return you to where you came from. They're going to make a slave out of you. And what has conquering armies been doing to people when they conquer them? They make slaves out of them. Look at the history of mankind going all the way back to recorded wars. How one army conquered another army. You can keep what you can hold, and you enslave what you hold.
Well, yeah, I remember you told 30... me that we were talking the other day on the private conversation. You were telling me that people in prison actually signed a contract and put themselves there, which is really interesting, that comment you made.
Yes. 95% of all people in court, in prison, have contracted themselves into the prisons. I was driving through Nebraska once, and the warden of the prison was on the radio being interviewed, and he claims to have the most corporate employees under contract and runs his prison with the highest efficiency with his corporate employees.
Right, 2,800 of them. Private corporations. And that's amazing. That
right, and all jails are controlled by private corporations today. Or prisons, I should say.
Yeah, I'm finding that out, you know, just like that one I was telling you about that Alex Jones found up there in Austin, Texas. The Homeland Security is driving in and out, but it's a private corporation. They told his camera crew, get off our ground. This is a private corporation. You're trespassing.
The minute you identify the word corporation, you are now back into the condition of court, a closed area under contract.
Okay, yeah.
See, now they've advertised the use of words, but people don't think outside the box. People don't break down the deductive reasoning as to what is actually happening. They presume, assume, and opinionate the condition of their location.
You know,
but if they stop to think outside the box, they're going to find out that they are in a serious situation of lack of knowledge. And every time you have a lack of knowledge, you wind up a ward of the state.
Yeah, that's very true. It's very true.
And with 30 million Americans, that's 10% of our population under arrest.
Yeah.
That's atrocious.
Yeah, and we got 612 prisons that aren't even filled up yet. New ones, brand new ones. They just build them, or they've taken old Army buildings and converted them.
And as the beds become available and the staff becomes educated, you know, you got to have teachers if you want to have students, right?
Yeah.
If we have a teacher shortage, well, then they crowd the students in. If we have a surplus of teachers, well, then they spread the teachers out. I mean, the students out, and they have it thinner.
Yeah.
Same thing is true with prisons. If we have overcrowding, they build new prisons, and they divide them up.
Yeah, I'm surprised how many they're building these days, because they're really anticipating a lot of people signing contracts here, you know, and putting themselves inside these prisons. It's amazing, the anticipation of the government at this point in time, because it seems that the government has gotten very cocky in the fact that they don't think Americans are very smart. They treat them like animals. And they don't think that, they probably recognize that 1% of the population is fairly smart, but beyond that, they don't seem to really care about anybody else. This is my feeling, anyway.
Documents that I have filed into the federal and state courts in the past 4 months have articulated the breakdown of how the foreign vessel, the foreign courts, are actually independent territories, not part of America.
The judges who didn't know the truth
before are now learning what the truth is and are putting the question to the table, do we have this authority to arrest anybody? Can we Shanghai Americans and bring them into our vessels and then put them to work as slaves once they're Shanghaied?
So they
realize that the police or the sheriff that they ordered to go out and arrest people don't know how to read and write. They read an adverb verb. They don't know how to use correct sentence structure. And when the question was put to the government, a very high government official at the post office, why do you allow this to happen? He says, we hired stupid people who can't read and write, so we're not responsible for what they do. Because under Title 42, United States Code 1986, you must have knowledge to stop and correct. If you don't have knowledge and you're just following instructions, or you swore an oath to a judge to do his bidding where he says 3 + 3 = 7 and you're not going to question that 3 + 3 = 7, you're just going to go out there and arrest somebody because they said 3 + 3 = 6 and bring them to jail. This is a very disturbing environment that we're creating in America.
Well, I agree with that. I'm surprised that some of these magistrates or magistrative positions in the government are actually realizing and actually agreeing with you and saying, screw it, we're going to do it anyway because of what you just said. It's really interesting.
Well, when I filed quantum paperwork, or what we call our quantum communications, where we completely... The sentence structures to which I use are mathematically balanced so that they are legal. And the vessels that carry these words are the court. As a plenipotentiary judge, I'm a chief judge over judges.
Right.
Because I'm the only judge in America that has a quantum oath, files quantum paperwork, has quantum rules or regulations to open a court up. And by opening a court, I mean, I bring forth the facts on the vessel paper, which now becomes the court. And I've articulated this to the judges, and you know what they do? They say, well, you can't bring in the truth paperwork into our courtrooms. We only have illusions. Now, another form of this illusion is in all contexts. Now, the word contest starts with C-O-N, which is the abbreviation for contract,
right, or
constitution.
Yeah.
Okay, in all contests, it could be a baseball game, we have a level playing field. Football game, we have a level playing field. Hockey, soccer, volleyball, doesn't matter what kind of game you want to play, they're all going to have a level playing field. Except when you go into a courtroom. Now you've got four different planes in the courtroom. You have the jury box plane. Now, if you look up the word box, it's an enclosed area which cannot be considered. A jury box cannot hear evidence or see witnesses, and nothing can be considered by the jury. The witness stand is a plane in a box above the courtroom, and because it's above the rest of it, when the person testifies, he's talking to himself in a box. Then you have the flat plane where the claimant sits, or the petitioner, or the prosecution, or the defendant, the Vasily. Those are different terminologies we use. Defendant means no contact, no contract. Respondent means no contract. Re meaning no. Spon means talk, from speak. So if you have a no-speak individual, you have like in a divorce, you have a petitioner and a respondent. Well, the petitioner is petitioning the court, and the respondent can't be heard. So the petitioner always wins as the moving party.
Oh, that's true. It's true. 99% of the cases.
Right.
You go in there defeated.
And then you have the claimant and defendant. Well, the claimant or the prosecutor, but then the word PRO from prosecute means no contract. And the word defendant, DE, means no, of the word defendant. See, the one thing you have to realize is any time you have a word that has a prefix that means no, they are obviously using a prefix of a negative condition for a positive condition. Now, I don't care what you believe that word means. If you take away the fact that there is a no in front of it, they must obviously be able to vacate the condition of a fact. If it's a fact, it means it's under contract. So therefore, all prefixes that mean no, like DE and RE and PRAEIO and U, or a vowel used as a single syllable, or a vowel that is used as followed by two consonants to start a word, those all mean no contract. And you can sit down and take apart the entire dictionary. Look up every word that has a vowel with two consonants following in the synonym, and you'll see that there's a negative condition of state there as a synonym, and it means no contract.
Interesting. So what happens when you go in with these petitions like you have in the last 4 months? Some people obviously know you quite well, but I mean...
Well, I'm known by all the judges in the United States. I'm not a mystery to anybody after 27 years.
No, I know. You go in there, do you get any newbies, any new judges or new DAs or anything that just like, what, Because I know you do this a lot.
We get people who question. We get people who pay attention. We get people who cooperate the first time, then they go and they investigate, and they're told, if you cooperate, you're fired.
Wow.
What is the first rule of business? Never hire your replacement.
Yeah. Wow.
And if you are filing paperwork where the judge tells the district attorney, tells the opposing party, tells the clerk of the court, if you process this paperwork, I will fire you or make your life a living hell. They're going, well, what do I got to lose?
Yeah.
Their oath says that they must file the paperwork. They must take, under Rule 44, a foreign court who is under contract by the American corporation, the United States of America Corporation.
Right. So are a lot of people getting fired just out of curiosity that work in the courts now when you come in there?
Those people who have filed our paperwork, all of a sudden, like we go back there to talk with them a second time, they don't work here anymore.
Wow.
And so this word has gotten around to the clerks, and so the clerks are coming back with, we can't file that. I'm going, what do you mean? It says right here that the courts are always open, that you must take a grievance or a complaint from any person filing it into this court. They're saying, well, no, we have a determination that we can refuse that. I'm going, oh. So the clerk of the courts is now going to make a judicial decision to stop the ability of a citizen from making a grievance.
That's true. That happens just about everywhere anyway, you know.
They swear an oath to file papers and then turn around and don't.
Yeah.
They take taxpayers' money to do a job and then don't do their job.
Yeah.
They swear an oath to process the paperwork correctly. You know, in the past they always did it.
Yeah.
But they couldn't win the cases. The judges and the attorneys came back and said, we can't defeat Miller's technology. You know that on December 6th in Riverside, California, the judges and the attorneys got together and they had an ex parte communication hearing for a Dr. Miller who asked them, will you please show me your oath written in the truth? He's a 70-year-old doctor.
Right.
Will you show me your rules and regulations written in the truth? I wish to pay my taxes to the Internal Revenue Service with the correct language.
Right.
Instead, they threw him in jail and said, you will submit to our jurisdiction or we will hold you in contempt until you do.
Yeah,
and he says, well, show me your contract. Show me your authorization. Show me who you are. And they said, we don't have to.
Yeah.
You know, I'll tell you a story.
This was
back way back in the 20s.
Yeah.
Al Capone walks up to the storekeeper and says, hey, you got to buy my fire insurance. And the storekeeper
goes,
the good storekeeper goes, well, I don't need it. I got fire insurance. Well, that night his building burns down, and Al Capone shows up the next day and says, hey, I told you to buy my fire insurance. And he goes to the guy next door, and he says, hey, buy my fire insurance. He says, the guy next door didn't want to buy my fire insurance. His place burned down because he wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
Well, the IRS is... put Al Capone in jail and then turned around and used his procedures to hoodwink America in the same format.
That's true.
I'm not here to point the finger at America. I'm not here to say the court system did it wrong or to embarrass the United States government. Well, they want to be the world police officers. So
yeah,
my question to you is, if you're going to be the leader, then lead with the correct sentence structure. Lead with the correct contract. Lead where people are going to respect the rules and regulations because they are written with the correct sentence structure, and there isn't any debate as to how to do it.
Right.
Everything is subjective interpretation, which means no contract interpretation. Because they want their job security. 1.6 million attorneys, 11,000 judges, who all write in adverb verb, say nothing to people who can't read and write, and they charge between, you know, $150 and $500 an hour for the privilege of saying nothing.
Yeah,
that's why the court calls people pro se's, and P-R-O is Latin for no, and S-A is Latin for speak. And everyone wants to go into court and see justice.
Right.
J-U means outlaw or no law. S is the abbreviation for speak. T-I is title and C-E is judge. Judge title speaks no law or judge title speaks outlaw.
Wow.
Because he modifies, creates perjury, and says nothing to an individual who can't understand. Why can't he understand? Because he's in a foreign court with foreign vessels and foreign paperwork, and under the broad-based discretion of Title 28, 2072, we can't understand anything, so we get to determine everything.
Yeah. So do you see any kind of a trend that's moving more in the legal judicial system in your direction, or are you just getting a... I know you have a lot of people out there that'll help people, and we'll get into the contact information later, but... Do you see any kind of, is anybody getting the message of what you're saying, Alan?
Yes.
They are.
We have over 200 million students worldwide that have downloaded my website.
Yeah, that's a lot.
That means people are studying. People are wake up in the morning, they say, they roll over and they say, we're not in Kansas, Toto. This don't feel right.
So now
they're going out and they're finally looking for answers. And the more they study, they exponentially teach each other. And say, hey, you got to look at this website. You got to see that it's all about the procedures of communication. It's not about a one person. It's not about a country. It's not about a race of a person or the sex of a person. It's about the ability to write a contract with the correct sentence structure. And, you know, when I went looking for the procedures of language, the procedures of how, what is an adverb? Well, an adverb is a modifier of another adverb, the modifier of an adjective, the modifier of a pronoun in front of it, and the modifier of a verb. And if you're going to modify, that means you're going to change. Well, if you're going to change something, it's no longer a fact. So therefore, you're no longer in the truth, you're in fiction. Now,
what's
if we then look
at like Harvard Law School, you must be having some influence on some of these schools that attorneys attend to obtain their, you know, their degree so they can practice law and pass the bar. What's happening there with what you're doing?
Well, I did a seminar in San Francisco. And there were 60 people taking the bar exam in the room right next to me where I was doing my seminar.
Yeah.
And I have a loud voice, and they overheard me.
Uh-oh, yeah.
Well, they went ahead when they got done with their exam. They all sat down in the hallway. I mean, you mind, 60 people are sitting in the hall while I'm talking. We got our doors open.
Yeah.
And they're listening to 4 hours of me disqualify their occupation for adverb, verb, fiction. And these people are sitting out there between the ages of 23 and about 28,
yeah,
and they're crying, men and women. They're all crying, going
to take this test. Now they're hearing you.
Right. They realize we just certified ourselves to be liars. What are we going to do with the rest of our life?
Oh my God.
We just spent $140,000 on a 6-year college education to become a lawyer, and all we did is became a liar because we modify language.
So what was the comment? Did you get some feedback or what?
Well, no. I left town after that. I was finishing up the seminar. I invited everyone to come in, and there's been repercussions all throughout the system where people, every time you see a prepositional phrase, they run away. You know, when students ask their English teachers, are you going to teach us about prepositional phrases and correct sentence structures, they're suspended from school?
No, I didn't know that because
yeah.
I was grilled on that when I was a kid. I had to learn that stuff. I don't know.
So did I.
But I mean,
so did I.
Yeah. Wow.
And but you know, the phraseology. You have a preposition, an article, and a noun. Right.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. The word preposition pre means no, and position. So you have no contract.
Right.
Okay, the next word is the article, a vowel and two consonants, A-R-T. So therefore, the word article should be the command word or the lodial to certify the noun. How do you spell noun? N-O-U-N, no-no?
Right.
So you have no contract of no ownership to make a no-no.
Sounds like some baby crawling at 2 years old, no-no.
So yep. So they created the prepositional phrase. Used no contract words. They
right.
used words in the future time, in the past time, above the plane and below the plane, but they avoid now time jurisdiction at all costs. The entire English world, worldwide, practices this technology of fiction.
Yeah, I agree. I mean,
and, you know, it's all languages, when we do the translations, are obstructed. Now, my website is written in French, German, Spanish, Italian, and English, but it's done quantumized. So the translation between one language and another is not obstructed.
Now, that's a very good point, because half the time, especially Japanese, Chinese, to English, it's absurd what the translation is, let alone being the language being no good in the first place.
When I sit down with people that are translators, the only thing I need to know is four prepositions. For, of, with, and by.
For, of, with, and by?
Right.
Okay.
For is a cause, of is the effect, with is the possession, by is the authorization.
Oh, interesting. For.
Okay, now, with these four prepositions, I now can go back and assimilate in the articles, or what we call the lodial, or ownership.
Right.
We've got a, we've got the, we got these, and we got this.
Yeah.
On special occasions, I'll use the word our if I'm going to use a general term, or I'll use the word my if we're going to use a general term. But anything that's specific will always be used in first person specific. I don't allow any pronouns or guesswork to be used in my language. When I get with a foreign language and I know what their prepositions and articles are,
right?
Then the nouns, what is a pencil? Well, I can hold up a pencil, and 5,000 people, 5,000 different languages can tell me what the name of that object is, and I can translate it. Now using their preposition, their article, and identifying that fact, now I have a position, lodial, fact, phrase. And I've articulated in now time jurisdiction, and therefore I can write a quantum sentence. The odds of writing a correct quantum sentence are 1 in 100 million.
Wow.
All of my sentences are accurate.
Yeah.
The sentence structure of the fiction is 200% fraud. Not only do they have every single word misrepresented, not only do they not use prepositional phrases to certify the order of operations, but the deductive reasoning of all their sentences is presumed and illusionary and say nothing.
Interesting.
So anybody that's a multimillionaire that's being sued by a fiction can hire me to come in and say, that's a lie, and I can go up and take that document that is suing them, put it up on a blackboard, correct it, and prove that it is 100% fraud and says absolutely nothing.
I guess you're pretty busy, aren't you?
I am.
Yeah, I know.
I've also contracted my services to the United States Pentagon as a muster master to protect all of our offshore agencies from any foreign jurisdictional contracts to damage them. I have also made this same contract with 82 other countries in the banking industry.
Yeah, I know. I don't know how much, you know, we've talked about that off air, and maybe you could go into that. I know you've done some amazing contracts for different governments.
Well,
these
contracts are roughly about 115 pages long, and they go through a broad base of subjects, teaching the information. A lot of it's on the website in a different format, but it's still articulated to protect them.
Yeah.
So if anybody gets into a situation where their legal department can't come to a conclusion, can't arbitrate themselves out of it, they can hire me to come in and certify that the attacker, the moving party, has committed a fraud on his ability to communicate.
Yeah. So that, therefore, on the side of the government, when it comes to something that they want from another government, offshore or foreign, they really rely on your technology and your literacy.
Well, they can rely on it when it comes to paperwork.
Yeah.
But if no one's going to listen, just like Bush says to Hussein, surrender, and he says, yeah, blow it out your ear.
Yeah.
So what do we do?
Yeah.
We drop a little ordinance over there and we arrest the guy.
Yeah, there you go.
He's going to say, we're going to have our way whether you like it or not.
Yeah. That seems
and the old rule is still
lot,
there.
Yeah.
You can keep what you can hold.
Yeah. But here back at home, I think that is with the Patriot Act in place and the habeas corpus law, I think that unless somebody really knows your stuff and doesn't get a hold of you or one of your staff, and then the government goes after you, you've got a big, big, big uphill battle of fiction now. That's my feeling, anyway.
I wrote a paper and I submitted it to the Supreme Court of the United States on habeas corpus, and after that it was abolished.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's when Rehnquist was alive.
Yeah.
And the document said, if your habeas corpus is written in adverb verb, how can you bring forth a verb vessel?
Yeah.
And how does the verb vessel ask for anything in the first place?
So what was the response?
Well, it doesn't exist, so therefore we can abolish it. And, you know, even around 1996, we used the apostille. Now, that's a document where the senator of the state would have to give you authorization to bring a lawsuit into a foreign port. Now, foreign port didn't mean if it was domestic or overseas.
Right.
And we wrote the lawsuit with the Mark Martins case, and we filed it in Vladivostok, Russia.
Wow.
And we won the case for $50 million in Vladivostok, Russia, which stopped all mail from leaving the United States for 10 days to check the mail for any apostilles when the World Court at The Hague learned about how the apostille was used, and that the word APP meant no contract. The word apostille and its use was abolished by all 200 countries of the United Nations.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
You see, they had that for a long time, since 1905, and then when they had, and everyone pretended, in an illusionary condition of thinking, because they couldn't prove the mathematical interface on language, because every time someone came forward and said, that's illegal, the judge says, fine, prove it. And he says, well, I can't. It's just I know it's illegal. And he says, well, when you can prove it, we'll go ahead and we'll act on it. Well, I proved it. And when I proved it, that's when they could go ahead and start changing things. And the government has been changing many things. A lot of the courts now won't allow paper filings, only electronic filings. So if they don't like what's filed, they can hit the delete button. And you can't put a postage stamp on an electronic filing. You can't do an endorsement on an electronic filing. You don't have an autograph on an electronic filing.
So theoretically, they're just a higher degree of fiction is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's amazing.
And when you call these people on their fiction, well, what is the first thing they're going to do is they're going to run for cover.
Yeah. Yeah, with somebody like you calling on them, but some guy on the street probably would call them on it, and then they'd run for cover from the repercussion because they know what they were doing, you know?
Well, you've got to ask yourself a question. Are you knowledgeable?
Exactly.
If you're going to be an individual who's going to yell wolf, there better be a wolf there.
Exactly.
Which means if you're going to say you did it wrong, you better know, one, how to prove how it was done wrong under Title 42, 1986.
Right.
To stop it, and then you must be able to correct it.
Exactly. And that's what you do. And they need to get a hold of you to do that, right?
When I go to court, the judges know what I do. They've researched what I do. I walk in the court, the judge says, I know why you're here. You're not going to do a seminar.
Yeah.
I know you can prove we don't exist. But
amazing.
there's a damage here, and none of us are educated enough to know how to correct the damage. Like, we've got a bank robber, a murderer, a rapist. And the court comes back and says to me, while I'm on the witness stand, the U.S. attorney says, well, Mr. Miller, are we supposed to let that murder go free because we didn't have our words in the right place? I says, well, you're the man with 10 years of college, 10 years of experience in the prosecution department. Why didn't you write the charges with the correct sentence structure in the first place? Why did the people who ran for office in the legislature, the Congress, and the Senate not create the law with the correct sentence structure so that the courts were accountable, not as courts, but as open markets, because you have an open market contract, to articulate the accuracy by which the laws are written, and therefore you can't hire me to use the loophole to get you out of trouble? And I went to the IRS and I said the same thing. If you write the tax codes with the correct sentence structure, you'll have 100% taxpayers, not 30%. And if 100% pay taxes, we'll have an 8% tax rate, not a 45% tax rate. And everybody gets to make money.
Exactly.
Across the board. This country will grow exponentially faster than anybody in the world with its technology.
Yeah. You know, it's amazing, you know, that we look at flaws in technology, we look at flaws in drugs, we look at flaws in medicine. Nobody wants to look at flaws in language.
Oh, that's because it vacates 100% of everything.
Yeah, that's my point. It's my point. You know, I'm getting to be your student here slowly but surely, but I'm starting to understand you. You know, I'm just scanning your website, and everybody that's out there with should go immediately on his website, because you'll stay there for hours and hours and hours. You know.
You know, people will get my tapes, and they'll sit down to watch them, and they don't turn them off. I mean, you sit there and watch 20 hours without turning off the TV set, and they're going, I can't believe that I've just watched this guy talk for 20 hours.
Yeah, no, I can, you know, an hour goes by on this show with you very fast, you know, very quickly. And it's just totally amazing to, I'm just seeing, you know, I'm just looking on here. You update everything, and it's amazing.
Recently updated. My new books just came out last week.
What's the name of your new book?
Well, it's the David Lynn Miller Communications, and it's been critiqued, and I've got some new documents in there that are very state-of-the-art.
Yeah.
We go through the deductive reasoning of what foreign courts are, and just like what I just said on this radio show.
Yeah, yeah. And I see you've got a... Now, what's this follow-up number, this 414-466-3584?
That's my home phone.
Okay. So
I'm very public. You know, my name and address has been up there on the Internet so that, you know, people can get a hold of me. I don't have anything to hide.
Yeah, I know, because I'm usually able to get a hold of you, and I know you're incredibly busy with all the things that you do besides this. It's amazing you humble yourself to help people out. You really are a dedicated human being to making us, you know, I guess, citizens of something with inalienable rights, not civil rights. I mean, to me, that's always been what our forefathers originally had in mind, but I don't think the Constitution's even done right after listening
You look at the word alien.
Yeah.
A is a single syllable, which means no.
Yeah.
And lien comes from contract.
Okay.
So if you're an alien, you have no contract.
So is that good?
But if you spell lie...
Sometimes I think that might be good.
But if you spell lie, L-I-E, it means perjury.
Okay.
And if you spell lion, it's past tense perjury.
Yeah.
And the difference between lion and lien is still perjury. Because all liens are written in adverb verb fiction. So you're still lying.
So what do you do? Have to call the judge? Here come the judge. We got to bring you into the court, or what do we have to do here? You know.
Well, whenever I get scheduled to go to court, they cancel the court.
I know. I also heard that your picture. I think I know your picture's in most courtrooms around the country, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, all the judges know who I am. A portfolio of me and my accomplishments and my website and the information's been downloaded and given to the judges to study, so if I happen to walk into their courtroom, they know that I'm there for a specific reason, because I was invited, because someone feels they've done something wrong, and they want me to have first-hand knowledge as to what mischief is going on.
Yeah.
As a plenipotentiary judge, for me to write a prosecution law or a complaint against judges and attorneys, I need to have signed confessions of the people who are doing the wrong thing.
In other words, that's the defendant, what we would call normally the defendant, or would that be the plaintiff in this case?
It'd be neither.
Okay.
I don't use those words.
Yeah.
If a person who practices contract writing goes ahead and he lies in violation of Title 18, 1001, and Title 18, 1621, perjury.
Right.
Then he is an individual. Upon doing so, he has committed perjury of his oath and dishonored his position, which means he has no honor of his position.
Right.
All right. If he does that, I need a signed confession from him in order to give me jurisdiction in order to move forward and file a complaint against him.
Okay.
All 3,850 judges have given me their signed confessions.
That's pretty interesting, yeah. Wow. So in other words, the judges will allow you to move against them.
Well, they don't allow anything.
Yeah.
That doesn't stop the fact that bringing to their attention, and I always give the judge and the attorneys the first opportunity to stop and correct under Title 42, 1986, file a Federal Rules of Civil Procedure 41A, voluntary withdrawal of their actions and their conduct to stop and correct it. We give them 30 days under maritime law. I mean, we understand that people make mistakes.
Right.
And we are gracious enough to help them, show them all their mistakes. We report back to them with all their mistakes, and we just merely ask them to either fix it and do it right or to withdraw their argument. That's reasonable.
No, that's very reasonable.
But if they say, no, we've told a lie, and we're going to stand behind our lie, and we're going to go ahead and damage this person with a lie.
Wow.
Then I will go ahead and file my complaints with the proper authorities to see if these people are removed from office.
And I guess you've been pretty successful.
Yes.
So that puts a big meaning in here comes the judge. this is what it was really meant for. And I don't know how the you know, saying here comes the judge really works in the language. It probably doesn't come out that way at all. But I'm just saying, it's really great that you're out here doing this for a lot of people that need this kind of a service performed in their life so they can have a life again, you know. We all do make mistakes, as you said, you know.
There's been many judges that have looked at the paperwork, looked at the arguments that have been presented, told the district attorney, unless you can fix this, I don't want this. There's no record that this ever happened.
Right.
You will give this person back their life and vacate your position. And I get a call, thank you, I don't exist anymore. I can get on with my life, and they're happy.
Yeah, I bet they are happy. I bet they're having a party, you know, getting rid of the judge. So
you know, other people,
minute or so of the show,
there are some people that have asked for my service, and then they saw what the implications are of the impact of this information.
Yeah.
Then they turn around and say, well, I'm as guilty as the government is, and I have more to lose by cooperating in the truth than I do by participating in the fiction. Says, yeah, I might have to go to jail for a while. But then...
Well, yeah.
He says, when I get out, they're going to... Because I don't make a fuss about it, they're going to let me keep what I got.
Yeah.
I'm going, well, that's your private contract then.
Yeah, no, I got that. Okay, we're completely out of time. I even
all right.
My hot rod to hell thing where I slam people, you know, organizations that are stupid. I just completely forgot, you know, to do that tonight because you're so important as to our listeners. I got about 30 seconds left. Once again, give us your website for those that don't have
it. It's in D as in David, W as in Wynn, M as in Miller, L as in language, and C as in communication.com.
Yeah. And thank you very much, Judge Wynn Miller, for coming on this program. I guarantee you made a lot of people happy tonight, and there's so many people out there that just couldn't wait to hear you. So thank you to my audience. Thank you to BBS Radio. Thank you, Judge. Thank you, everyone, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
All right. Thank you.
Okay,
have a good
bye.
Evening.